Our Bible taken from 2 Corinthians 11, 13, from verse 13, 11 to 14, and say, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strike for full registration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the Lord and the peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here, send your greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Last time today, I'd like us to talk about the communion of the Holy Spirit. Some of, you know, each of these things we talk about, I think they are aimed at helping us to kind of discover how we might flow in line with the Holy Spirit, and above all, helping us to sort of discover or become a little bit bolder with our spiritual gifts. Because, like I said, and I keep saying, I believe everyone in the church has got one or more spiritual gifts. Every person in the church. No person is useless, be they 12-year-old or be they 120 years old. However, we all have got something to offer. We might not recognize it, all right? We might not feel, you know, as bold as some other people, but yes, it might even be our presence, just our presence in the church, I tell you. It might be the encouragement that someone will receive, and then they will grow bolder with their gifts, their spiritual gifts. Well, we've read 2 Corinthians 13, 11 to 14 this morning, which is some sort of concluding message to the Corinthian church by Apostle Paul. And I would like us to zero in on the 14th one. If you have it open in your Bible, I'd like us to read that sort of final closing blessing from the apostle to the church in Corinth. Have you got it? If you have it, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Praise God. This is wonderful. So, writing to them about various issues and then coming to a conclusion, the apostle now wanted them to remember all the things that they've been passing through and to close those sort of encouragement with some sort of comforting words, not sort of making them feel more guilty, not saying to them in the way that they will sort of not understand, but bringing sort of the love, the grace, and the fellowship of the Trinity. Look at this. I saw this somewhere. Do you know? Have you seen it anywhere?
Yes.
What's your thoughts? I'd like you to answer audibly. What do you think about? What does it stand for? Why do they have it on their business? Or
we got a new boss.
A new boss.
What?
Yes. Yeah. You know, they are wanting us to know we've got a new boss and we've changed. But I looked at this and sort of the Holy Spirit used it sort of to explain to me, to speak to me about the subject of this morning. You know, when we are in Christ, we are now under new management, completely under new influence. When we are in Christ. And remember, we may not feel like it all the time. There are some times we might not feel like we are, but we are. under new management. But we have to remain open to him. We have to be transparent to him. You know, there are some times when we pray, we don't have any sort of audible words to express what we are wanting him to do to us or to do for us. But we have to come with some sort of openness to him. But any person that has received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are now under new management. And flowing with the Holy Spirit, having communion with the Spirit of God, feels like being under new management. We are no more in darkness. We don't live in the flesh anymore. But we are in the world. Remember, the scripture says that not of the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are under new management. So he brings to them some sort of final greetings. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace be with you all. Greet one another with a sacred kiss, a holy kiss. I don't know if we still do. In some places, they still do. To greet one another with a holy kiss, with the love of Jesus Christ in our lives. There was obviously an ongoing problem in that church. And so he was trying to deal with that problem by communicating to them and explaining the love of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and then the koinonia of the Holy Spirit, using it to explain to them, sort of letting them know, for whatever you go through, these are the things you must strive towards. That peace, that maturity, that encouragement, that love, that brotherly kindness that should be in you, that should be seen in you. But you will not be able to do this without this package that he brings. And this is a very striking framework for the Trinity, even before the idea of the Holy Trinity was developed. Way before, but this is a perfect framework of the Trinity working in our lives as children of the living God. There are three things I would like us to look at this morning. I will try to, you know, kind of, what does communion mean? And also, we'll try to look at, there are seven English words for the Greek word koinonia, and also how to grow in communion or fellowship with the Holy Spirit. There are different symbols that explain the Holy Spirit, that people use to represent the Holy Spirit. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is not any of these. So in the Bible, in Acts 2, we saw the Holy Spirit came like a fire, tongue of fire. And we saw in John 1:32 that he is described as a dove. In Ephesians 4:30, he is a seal. In Ephesians 5:18, a representation with a wine. In Acts again 2:2, remember he came like a wind, a mighty wind. In Psalm 72 verses and Hosea 6:3, the Holy Spirit is described as rain. And in 1 John 2 verse 20 and also in 27, he is holy oil. But he is none of these things. And I believe the Holy Spirit is a person. I believe that the Holy Spirit was there even before the world began. Before the beginning of the beginning, the Holy Spirit was there. He is the one who gave inspiration. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, I believe this scripture with all my heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given, is God breathed. So the Lord was there. He was the one that gave the inspiration even before the world began to be able to write the scriptures. And also, if we live in the Spirit, like the apostle says to Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's do what? Walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, we also have to make a little effort to walk in the Spirit. And that is fellowship. That is communion with the Holy Spirit. I believe what it is to listen to the Holy Spirit and to act on the Word of God. I believe that having communion with the Holy Spirit is not rocket science, and we might not get it right all the time, but what I believe God looks for is that willingness from our parts, that willingness from us. Looking through the Bible, I discovered that the first person that exemplified the sort of fellowship with the Holy Spirit was the man called Enoch. And you read from Enoch, Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, you remember those words, it says, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. How many years? 300 years. And had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 165 years. And verse 24 says again, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him away. So the first person that really exemplified that communion since the fall of Adam and Eve, Enoch, he walked with God. And also we read about Noah in Genesis chapter 6, 8 and 9. And he says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. So walking with God is this sort of fellowship we are talking about today, is this sort of communion. And the word that the Bible uses when it talks about communion has come from the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia. And there are, I believe, seven English words that translates that Greek word. And you remember one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit, like I mentioned, is a seal. Each time I read that passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, I remind myself that the Holy Spirit has been given and he is a seal. I lived in a place, I grew up in a place that shepherds took their sheep from one place to the other, and they were roaming about. They were sort of nomadic, going from one place to the other. And you could see so many shepherds with so many sheep and goats and cow and everything. But each of them, I don't know how they do it, they managed to make some sound, and their sheep or their goat or their cow would just follow their leader. And when they are mixed up together, I remember as we were growing up, there is always a sort of inscription, sort of a writing, sort of initial on those animals. And one day I asked someone who was older than me, what are those inscriptions? What are those writings? He said, they are seals of the owner of these animals. Even when they are kind of wandering away, or they are mixed up, or they found lost, because they have the seal of the owner, anyone who finds them will surely bring them back to the owner. That's the Holy Spirit. The Lord has sealed us with the Holy Spirit, that even if anyone wanders away, the seal of God is always with that person. Somehow, they will be drawn back to the Father. The Holy Spirit is a seal that we are sealed forever. Have you seen this picture before? I got this from Bossy monastic community. Well, I was a student once in Bossé, and I was privileged enough to be involved in some of these monastic communities some years ago. But it's a picture that they used to illustrate koinonia, a younger man carrying an older man. And when you look at this picture, you will see all the seven English words captured in this picture. There are seven English words, like I said, that koinonia has been translated: presence, fellowship, sharing together, joint participation, intimacy, friendship, and then comradeship or partnership. Can you see all these seven translations in that picture? Of course, there is a presence. Of course, there is a fellowship. And there is a sharing together. There is a joint participation. Of course, you have to be intimate with me to carry me like that. And then you have to be my friend. Of course, you are comrades. You are partners together. This is what the Holy Spirit does with us as children of God. I'd like us to read this same passage from the Amplified. Can we read together? The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the presence and fellowship, the communion, the sharing together of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So be it. That's it. So be it. So koinonia has got all these meanings, and I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. He wants to be with us. He wants to be present with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. And of course, sharing our struggles together. Let me explain it this way. I talk with Anita and my kids and every time, and they have access to me at any time, and we kind of commune, we have fellowship, we are family, we share together, midnight, early morning, whenever. We share when we are, you know, in the bathroom, we share when we are eating, we share together. And we spend time together. And I have found over the years that relationships and, you know, the fellowships we enjoy, whatever we enjoy as a family, they become kind of thicker with communication. When you stay apart, you sort of begin to lose that sort of bonding. But there is something that happens when you communicate, when you share. You tend to know the person more when you speak to that person. And then you don't live with assumptions. And it comes to a point that sometimes, without them saying anything, you already know what they are thinking. Because you've been together, you've bonded. But that happens by being together all over and all over and all over and communicating how you feel. Of course, when I do marriage, I don't know, if I should call it counseling. Anyway, when I train people who are coming to marriage, I always tell them that no relationship is the same with another. They're all different. But one thing you have to bear in mind is that you will lose that love if you don't communicate. You have to tell them. Sometimes don't fear if they will misunderstand that. Tell them how you feel. Communicate. Well, I'm like preaching to the converted here because you've lived 50 years, 60 years. All right? I know you know what I'm saying. But these things grow when you communicate. Even with friends, not just with couples, with friends, when they tend to communicate and however they do that, they tend to grow together. They tend to kind of bond together. And that's what I believe communion with the Holy Spirit is all about. When we kind of tell the Lord, express ourselves to Him, and then wait to hear from Him. Because prayer is not supposed to be a one-way traffic. However you do that, it's supposed to be a two-way thing. And that's communication. When we pray, we should be patient enough not to hurry off, but to listen to what He will say. And to be honest enough to accept what He will say. But it should be a two-way communication with the Lord Himself. And that happens quite often through spending time in prayer and in reading the Bible. Not just reading the Bible when we are in church, when we are in Bible study, but personally. You know what? I know that people grow. It happens to me. I get insights more in the spirit, in the Word of God when I read with others. But to be honest, when I read alone, sometimes those are the times that those words will become personal to me. Some things I will read, I will say, oh, this is me at this time. Or when someone reads, I will listen. I say, oh, that seemed to be myself. I'm in that place that he's just describing. And that helps me to grow. It helps me to get more knowledge and understanding. So that's what I believe communion with the Holy Spirit stands for. And I read 2 Corinthians 6:14. You remember that place that says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers? All right? I discovered that the fellowship, friendship, intimacy that was used in that passage is from the Greek word metoki. And that's the only time that word is in the whole Bible. And it means that one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do with us is to become intimate with us like a life partner. I believe that every person has got their own unique way of receiving from the Holy Spirit. They've got different ways. It might be for you, God speaks to you better when you read the Bible. It might be for some other people, they receive from God when they sleep or in the dream, the vision of the night. It might be, we are all different. That's what I'm saying. We receive differently from the Lord. And it's not always, good for leaders to make some form of worship to be legal. You have to know that people are in different places of their spiritual journeys at any given time, and to give them grace. But what I expect from us is to become a little bit confident of ourselves. Like I said, I wasn't there, but I think I am not where I want to be, right? Just listen to this. But what I'm sure is that I'm not where I used to be. Yeah, in the spirit, I am not where I want to be. To be honest, I want to do more for God. I want to know Him more. I want to just express myself more to Him. So I might feel, oh, I'm not there. But be assured, I'm not where I used to be. So I've made some movement, right? I've made some improvements. So no matter how you feel about yourself, you might feel you are not the Pope. if he is the most righteous person on earth, if he is, or you are not, who should I use? Who should I use? I don't know. But if there is any ranking of the spiritual degrees on earth, we are not that person, but we are not where we used to be. Praise God. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
I just want you to believe that. If that's the only thing you take home with you today, that's okay with me. You just believe with me from the scriptures, even though you are not where you want to be, you are not where you used to be. You are making progress. Remember, the church is not an organization. The church is an organism that grows. It's something that grows. Amen.
Amen.
So we pray for ourselves now, and we believe God that the Holy Spirit will continue to be present with us. Heavenly Father, we trust you. Sometimes we might feel unworthy. Sometimes we might feel empty of your spirit. But you remind us this morning that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to live with us forever. Even when we feel down and out, even when we feel that we are worse than every person on earth, even when we feel like we are not making any progress with our spiritual life, Lord, help us to remember that you are always with us. You want to be near to us, to fellowship with us, to be intimate with us. The koinonia of the Holy Spirit to always be with us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that your love sent Jesus Christ, full of grace. And when we accept the grace, we now walk in fellowship with your Spirit. Help us to always remember this, and that it will live with us forever. Thank you for your word, Lord, and blessing and honor, glory and power belong to you forever and ever. Amen.